Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Today is the greatest day in history. Even the word itself, history, his story. Without this day that we celebrate, we would have nothing. Because the one who came down, went down, 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 has been raised up. And the cross was not the end. The grave was not the end, for Christ is alive. Amen. Amen. And if you were here with us on Friday, we had a Good Friday service, and it was glorious. It was wonderful. Because on that night, we stood at the cross. And we heard the cries of our King to forgive sinners, to save a thief, to bear the wrath of Almighty God. And then we heard Jesus say, "It is finished." That word, "it is finished," is powerful, has three meanings. It means the work is complete. His work is completely done. It also has a judicial meaning. It means the debt that people owe for their sins has been canceled, been paid for. It means the way is open. But it's also a military term. It means victory has been won. It is finished. And friends, you know what's pretty amazing? We say it all the time. It's in fact, it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that we are saved by, not by, but actually, you know what? That's true. We are saved by grace, not by works. But you know, it took a work for us to be saved. There was a work that had to be done for our place. And that's why Jesus says that work is complete. And if the story had ended on Friday, Jesus' work, like he said, was finished. But if that was the end, we would have no living Savior. But this morning, we celebrate the truth that the tomb is empty. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. And the one who said, "It is finished," has been risen. The one who forgave sinners now, today, reigns as King. The one who welcomed that thief now opens that kingdom to all. The one who was forsaken now brings all people near. The one who finished the work now guarantees salvation forever. And this is important. And this is why his resurrection is so important. Because if Christ has not been raised, then we're still dead in our trespasses. Sin still holds us. Death still wins. Our hope is empty and futile. But Christ has been raised. He is not in the tomb. He is not defeated. He is not far off, distant. He is risen, he is reigning, and he is Lord. So this morning, I don't come in here quietly. My hope is that we all come in here with joy. We come with awe, and we come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because church, he is risen. Amen. Just like he said. just like he said. The cross declares that the work is finished. The resurrection declares that the Father has accepted the work. So if you have your Bibles, please open them with me as we continue our time and our study in the book of Philippians. We're going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And again, providentially, I believe this is the whole story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection. And I'm so thankful that providentially that we are in it this morning. So if you have your Bibles open, please stand with me and let us read chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Lord, may you bless the reading of your word. Give us ears to hear, hearts that are pliable, moldable for your glory. Verse 5, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand here together, brothers and sisters, the beloved in which you call us, your people. And Lord, we just heard your word and we confess, apart from your grace, we cannot see sometimes your glory. So I ask this morning, Lord, for everyone in this room, Lord, that you would open our eyes to behold your Son, our Savior. Lord, for the past few weeks, we have followed him down from glory to humility to the cross. And now, Father, lift our eyes. Lift our eyes to see him for who he really is. Not only crucified, but risen, exalted, reigning over all. Lord, show us the fullness of his glory. The one who was pierced for our transgressions is now crowned. The one who was forsaken now, Lord, we stand and worship. The one who finished the work is now seated in power. So Lord, I just pray, humble our hearts, O God. Silence any pride in our hearts. Bring low anything that goes against this, Lord. And cause us, Lord, to gladly, freely, and joyfully bow before him. And Lord, and as your word is being spoken and preached, don't just inform us with information. Would you transform us? Would you captivate us? Will you lead us to worship? Let us see Jesus. May we treasure him, trust him, and confess him as Lord. And we pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Brad, is my microphone working? Okay, good. I just want to make sure everyone can hear me. That's awesome. I am so blessed to see Mike Baker here, who just had surgery a couple days ago. Michael, I'm so thankful you're here this morning. What a blessing. What a sacrifice. It's awesome. And I also want to lift up Beate. Beate yesterday fell here in front of our church. It was an accident, and she really got hurt. She hit her face on the concrete out there. And Alethea and Anita had to drive her home. And she's in a lot of pain. And she has a lot of cuts and bruises. So if you can pray for her this week, that would be great. And I think she's watching us on Zoom. And all those other people, as Brad said, who are on Zoom, good morning. God bless you. I pray that you are doing well. But I just want to remind all of us, as the last few weeks, we have watched the descent of the King. We have watched Christ willingly go down further from glory to being a servant in the likeness of man, to living a life of obedience, as he stepped lower and lower from glory to the servant, to man, to obedience, and to death. And as Paul would say, even death on the cross. And that's where we've been standing, at the cross, where the Son of God, the Son of glory, was treated as if he had lived our life, so that we can be treated as if we have led his life. But here in our text this morning, Philippians 2 shows us something even greater. Not only has Jesus been risen, Scripture says he has been exalted. In church, like I said, for the past few weeks, we have followed him down. Now, this morning, we are going to follow him up and up. And the big idea of my message this morning is because Christ humbled himself to the cross, God has exalted him as Lord over all. And we're going to go through four movements up. So if you have your Bibles again, keep them open to Philippians chapter 2 and starting in verse 9. It says, therefore, God, movement number one, just so you know, movement number one, therefore, God has highly exalted him. And the first word is therefore. And one of my professors in school and our pastor from the past church we went to, he would always say, whenever you see the word therefore, you got to wonder, why is it there for? It's an important word. This word matters because therefore connects everything that was spoken previously. And that's what we're seeing here. Because Jesus has humbled himself, because Jesus obeyed, because he went all the way down from glory to earth to death, therefore God has exalted him. And church, this is not just resurrection. This exalting is divine vindication. Friends, at the cross, man had his verdict. Man rejected him. Man mocked him. Man crucified him. And they thought they had the final word. When that stone was rolled to close the tomb. But that was not the final word. Acts 2:24 says God raised him. And this is what we celebrate today. Not that Jesus just died, but that God vindicated his son. His resurrection proves his righteousness and his divine authority. It proves all of his claims as being the Son of God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, he was vindicated by the Spirit. The world, the Hebrews, the Israelites, they all said, he is not the Son of God. But God has said, God has declared in Romans 1:24, declared that Jesus is the Son of God in power. And he says, this is my Son. And even though the cross looked like defeat, the resurrection was divine vindication. And it doesn't just stop there, because Philippians says, God has highly exalted him. And this phrase means he's lifted him up to the highest place anyone can go. And Scripture confirms it. Ephesians 1:20-21 says, he raised him from the dead and he has seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Christ just didn't rise from the grave. He's been exalted to the highest place. So you ask, where's Jesus now? He's not in a tomb. He's not in weakness. Hebrews 1:3 says that he is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. Far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion. Church, there is no higher place than where Jesus sits now. The one who was lowered has now been lifted up. The one who was humiliated has now been honored. And this is no partial honor. This is not restored honor. This is supreme honor. Hebrews 2:9, Scripture says, he is crowned with glory and honor. Psalm 110:1 and Hebrews 1:13 says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And friends, you need to understand this. Jesus didn't exalt himself. He did not seize the throne. He did not grasp the throne. The Father gave it to him. We live in a world, we live in America, where we rejoice and we celebrate greatness. I think of Muhammad Ali, the greatest. And he would tell everyone, I'm the greatest. We hear it all the time. Basketball players, football players, I'm the best, I'm the greatest. We see people celebrating as if they were gods, grasping for this honor. Jesus did not exalt himself. He did not seize the throne. He did not grasp it. Hebrews 5:5 says this, Christ did not glorify himself, but he, God, who said to him, you are my sons. And friends, this is a reversal of all universal thought. The one who was stripped and robed with the one who was stripped naked and had a thorn, crown of thorn placed on his head, is now robed in glory, is now worshipped, and is now enthroned in heaven. And friends, his descent was real. He came, he emptied himself, and I want to just remind you, being emptying himself, nothing was subtracted from his godliness. He was 100% God, but he became man. That is the addition. That is his emptying by becoming man. Now God, who cannot be killed, can be killed. Jesus now has been exalted high above all authority. Jesus says in Matthew 28:20 that he says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. The one who went down has gone up. So that's movement number one. Now let's move to movement number two. Also in verse 9 in Philippians 2, 9, it says, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Church, what is this name? It's not merely the name Jesus, by the way. And Jesus is actually Yeshua, Yahweh saves, or the Lord is salvation. The name that is above every name is the name Lord. And we must understand what this word Lord means. This is not a title of respect that we give to some British emperor. Oh Lord. No. This is his divine divinity, divine identity. Isaiah 45:23. The Lord Yahweh says of himself, this is God, the creator of the universe. Yahweh says to me, Isaiah 45:23, to me every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear allegiance. Again, friends, this is Yahweh speaking, the one true God. And now Paul takes that very language and he is applying it to Jesus. The name that belongs to God alone has been given to Christ because Jesus Christ is Lord. Acts 2:36. God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He's not becoming Lord, but being declared as Lord in the resurrection and his exaltation. Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And friends, this is not optional honor. This is universal recognition of his authority. And again, I just read it earlier. Scripture says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus speaking. So church, there is no higher name. Colossians 2:10, he is the head of all rule and authority. Ephesians 1:21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, there is no rival, there is no equal, there is no competitor. The name above every name is the name that rules over every name. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And friends, don't miss this. In John chapter 8, when Jesus told the people there that before Abraham, I am. And they took up stones to kill him because he was declaring to be God. And that is the same name, I am, that when Moses in Exodus chapter 3 asked the Lord, Lord, when I go back to the Hebrews and to Egypt, who do I tell them sent me? And he said, I am who I am. I am who I am, the Lord Yahweh, the Lord God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent you. That is his name, friends. The one who we called, or the people at the time called, a blasphemer in John, a deceiver in Matthew. They called him a criminal in Luke. Now bears the name Lord Yahweh. The name once mocked, Jesus, will be worshipped. The name that was once rejected will be confessed. The name that was once crucified is now crowned. And friends, this is not just theology. This is worship. Revelation 5:13 says, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory forever and might forever and ever." And friends, this is where all humanity is going. Every voice lifting in the same confession. And amazing, the name he refused to grasp is the name that God has now declared. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, fully God, worthy of all worship. The one who was crucified. The one who was raised is Yahweh. The one who was crucified is Yahweh. And the one who now reigns is Yahweh. Let's move to movement number 3. Because he is Lord, look at verses 10, Philippians 2:10. Because he is Lord, it says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And friends, this is where this passage becomes unavoidable. Because look what it says. At the name of Jesus, some knees will bow. No, a few knees will bow. No, it says every knee will bow. Not some, not most. Every. Romans chapter 14:11 says, "As I live, declares the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." And friends, this is not some possibility. This is not some like, oh, maybe wishful thinking. No, this is certainty. In heaven, the angels bow. Revelation 5:12. The angels bow and says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And on earth, every person will bow. Under the earth, even those who have rejected him already will bow. No one is excluded. There is no king, no nation, no sinner, no rebel. Acts 17:31, God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world by a man whom he appointed. And that man, friends, is Jesus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And this is not forced speech. This is going to be the final recognition of a reality that's always been. Scripture's clear. Every knee will confess. And here's the thing. If you are in Christ, some will confess with joy. But there will be others who will confess in terror. Hear this carefully. Not everyone bows now. Not everyone's bowing to the Lord. But everyone will bow when Jesus comes back. And he asks, well, why aren't all of us bowing? I don't get it. Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. So not everyone bows now because they have been blinded by the god of this world to not see the light. But here's the good news. We pray to God the Father to open their eyes, to let His light shine through the darkness, to shine in the hearts of these people, that the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ will open their eyes. But friends, the question is not if, the question is when. When will they bow? Psalm 2:12 says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Blessed are those who take refuge in Him." There is still time, though, because God is God of mercy. The one before whom every knee will bow is the same one who went to the cross for all sinners. Romans chapter 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So if you're here today, bow now. Not in fear of judgment, but in surrender to His grace. Turn from your sin. Turn to Christ. Confess Him as Lord. Because the one who will judge the world is the same one who died to save it. The one who stooped is now sovereign. The one who suffered now reigns. The one who was crucified is Lord of all, and He calls you to Himself. Isaiah 45:23 says, "To Him every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord." And the appeal is this: do it now. Because on this great day, no one's going to wonder if He's truly God. Everyone will know. And what's amazing? We don't have to prove to anyone that there is a God. No one. We don't have to prove it. The scripture is clear. Everyone knows there is a God. The question is, will you humble yourself and receive Him? Let's move to our final movement, number 4. He did all this for the glory of the Father. It says there in Philippians 2:11, at the end, "To the glory of God the Father." Friends, don't miss this. This is incredible. The exaltation of Christ is not separate from the glory of God. It reveals it. This is what Jesus came to do, the will of the Father. John 14:9, Scripture says, "Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father." And the highest glory of Christ is that the Father is glorified through Him. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." Church, He came down so that God can be seen. That's what Jesus came down, so that God could be seen. And He rose up so that God will be glorified. So today, you are invited not just to admire Jesus, not just to study Him and to know more about Him, not to be inspired by Him, but to bow before Him, to confess Him, "Jesus is Lord." To trust Him, to follow Him, to surrender to Him. Because the one who was exalted is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Church, the way up is the way down. The way up is to bow your knee, confess him as Lord. Jesus went down, God raised him up, and now because of that, every knee will bow before him. Every knee. The one who went down for sinners is now the Lord over all. And if you're here this morning and you haven't placed your faith in Christ, I plead with you, I implore you, do it now. Scripture says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Bow now in repentance. Trust him. Submit to him. Jesus said of himself, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. But if you refuse, you will bow. You will bow later. You will bow in judgment. And friends, if you remember a message last week or the week before, in the very first garden, we saw the first man, Adam, reach upward. But here we see Christ, who went low. Adam's grasp brought death. Christ's obedience brought us life. Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, that is Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, Christ's obedience, that many will be made righteous. And friends, and because Christ went all the way down, he has been raised all the way up. And the one who was nailed to the cross has risen and now reigns on a throne. Let's pray. Lord, you were rejected by men, but you have been exalted by the Father. You were crucified, but now you reign. We bow before you in our hearts, Lord, not out of fear, but out of worship. Lord, I pray that you would draw all men to yourself. Reveal to us, Lord, that we are sinners. Reveal to the unbelieving world, Lord, that they are sinners. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen your church. I pray that you would strengthen our church, Lord, here at Lone Hill. Help us to fix our eyes and our hearts on your glory, on you, the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, we today corporately confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Church, it's right. Jesus is Lord. Amen.